Ooh, you're now rocking with the best. This is D Suave. You're tuned in to D Suave Radio, aka Steal This Beer. Please donate to these guys so they can continue doing this thing. Patreon, please donate. Gracias.
Steal This Beer, a candid weekly discussion about beer, over beer, by a couple of guys that think about beer way too much.
All right, hey y'all, it's 5 o'clock on Monday and we are stealing beer.
So far removed.
I am Augie Carton. John Hall is calling me a liar.
Hello.
Justin Kennedy is tweaking our ass across the crossfader.
That's right, new rule tonight.
And double dipping. Make sure you put in two union time cards. And Ryan Witter Merrithew. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Right on. Yes.
It's not an easy one for everybody to get.
Well, the trick was to commit. Once I was in Amera, I just threw the few on, and I was like, God, I hope that worked.
You just have to, just run with it.
Anyway, of Casita Cerveceria, which has actually come up on the show before, Thieves. You'll know who that is, and we'll get back to that. But first, let me correct all the lies I just told. It is Friday night?
Yes.
And it is around 8 p.m.
8 p.m.
We are, south of the Mason-Dixon line. We are down at Hunapu in Tampa again. But tonight, instead of being in some weird buffet line, we are at Copper Tail Brewing in Tampa.
In Ybor City.
Yeah.
In what? With
Ybor City.
Say that again?
You know it.
No, I'm not.
Y-B-O-R.
Ybor. Ybor City. Okay, I got that. Ybor, that makes sense. Thank you, sir. See, that's how you add value, John Hall.
I would just think that the people of Ybor would be upset if you called it Tampa.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, sorry, Ybor. Are you sure it's not Ybor?
All right.
Come
moving on.
I nailed
but
that.
But here
one.
We are, Friday
landed,
night
I stuck
in Tampa,
the landing
and we
on
have Ryan as our guest.
Friday night, Tampa. John, I've just flown in, and we have the honor of Ryan, who you guys will know because one of your beers showed up on our show, and we loved it.
Yeah, with Jim Rarish.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah,
the GM from the Nickler place.
Nickler NYC. Yep.
So did he tell you that came on, or did Justin?
No, Jim had told me that he had brought the beer on already, and then I listened to the episode. And
was he just trying to get some more bottles out of you to restock his cellar? Is that why?
No, because I don't think he got those from me. I think he got them from Vasily. Anyways, I don't think those came from me.
But your beers. So I know the story of your beer, which we will let you tell the thieves. But I will tell you that when somebody really wants to blow my mind, your beers is one of the ones they bring out because
thank
it's
you
such a fun story to tell. So why don't you talk about the birthing, the genesis, and then
wow,
and
we
then
spent
the mood
too much time together in
yeah
Ubers today.
Jesus Christ, we flew down together, so we're warm.
Usually
you
worked on
well. Hold on a second. Hold on a second. We were on the same plane.
Oh yeah, one of us made a left, John Hall, because he's pimp, and one of us made a right, Augie Carton, because he's trying to save the brewery a couple shekels.
Oh, that's nice.
But the Patreons paid for... Did they buy your ticket?
They did.
Bought Justin's.
But then my...
So wait, the Patreons bought you a first-class ticket? No. That's some fucked up shit right there.
Wow, and like champagne? They bought him champagne at the bar
and
beforehand?
Champagne, yes, absolutely.
John lives that champagne life.
My frequent flyer status with United got me bumped up, but thank you very much for the plane
well
ticket
done
down here.
Well done, Patreons. Thank you.
That
all
I
right, now let's get to Ryan and the Cerveceria. Start.
I feel like
with
Patreon auditors are going to come
me,
in.
supply receipts.
Do me a favor. Actually, start with your first brew job before the Cerveceria.
So my first actual brewing job or my first beer industry job.
Either way, tell me your story, man.
So
teach me about Ryan.
I'm originally from North Carolina.
Ooh, sexy. Hold on, sorry to interrupt.
I know. Seriously,
ooh,
this
so
is
sexy.
I'm from North Carolina, born and raised for most of my time. I eventually moved out to Colorado, which is where I really got into beer.
Okay.
Just because at North Carolina at the time that I lived there, there's no way I would have gotten into beer because there was nothing. It was a beer desert when I turned 21.
Okay. How long ago was that?
I'm to be 37 this year, so it'll
16
be 2001.
Years. Fast
yeah
math.
Yeah, that's right.
Men not hot.
Yeah, nothing. I think Highland would have been existed, but maybe that was, or Weeping Radish. There was really nothing for me. But living in Colorado, there was a massive amount of options, and I really got into beer.
Get right on the mic.
From there, I ended up moving to New Jersey, My sister lived in New Jersey. I moved to New Jersey. What? I lived there for about 3 years.
You didn't read your pre-show notes.
I lived in Westfield and Cranford.
Yeah, you know those places. Still no breweries there, but yeah.
What made me become a brewer was I made a trip out to a place called Heavyweight Brewing Company, which people from Jersey will know. This is like the pre-existing brewery that like...
Down in Tom's River.
Yeah. They were just too ahead of their time. Too ahead of their time.
White Pepper Saison. I still pepper my Saisons because of him.
Because of that, yeah. The Beard of Art.
They've moved to Philly, right?
Yeah.
And they're running Earth and Bread Brewery.
Wait, we all stepped on each other. It's something and bread, right?
Earth and Bread Brewery.
And he also is a partner in Hygge.
I don't know what Hygge is.
It's another brew pub, I think, in Philly.
All right. Cool. So anyway, so Jersey.
My first time going to Heavyweight, I was blown away because it was my first time ever meeting other people that were into beer at the level that I was, and it made me realize that I want to be a part of this industry. So I started sending out massive. I started homebrewings. I figured I should probably learn how to do that if I really want someone to pay me to make beer. I should learn how to make beer first.
Papazian or Palmer, which was your Bible?
Papazian was the first one I got, and I eventually got Ray Daniels How to Design Great Beers was the next one.
It's a good one.
I just homebrewed a bunch while sending out resumes. The first interview I ever got was at a place called Weyerbacher Brewing Company.
Eastern Pennsylvania.
Which might as well be New Jersey.
Yeah, sure. It's on the border. You can spitting distance.
One of the things you learn as a Jerseyan is William Penn was an ambitious motherfucker. And from Easton, that state goes west for a long time.
And I showed up. And I had like a tie on and a dress shirt and all this. It made me realize I had no clue what I was trying to get myself into.
They're like, sales?
Well, that's the thing. They did not hire me as a brewer.
Okay.
Instead, they got me hired as the craft brand manager at their local distributor known as Tanzo's Beverages in Northampton, Pennsylvania.
Northampton.
So I ended up moving to Pennsylvania. And I did that for about 9 months while continuously sending out resume after resume. I had some interviews, and eventually I got hired at Duck Rabbit Craft Brewery in Farmville, North Carolina. So I made this big move around the entire country and then ended up back in North Carolina. Yeah,
it's like a thought bubble, right? Like you put words in a cartoon in the path you put.
I had the secret? I had my thought board to put things out in the world, and they came back to me.
But it's so many different breweries, though, that were doing so many different things that either inspired you or employed you along the way.
Yeah, I still think Heavyweight. I wrote Tom like a long message years ago when I got my first job, just telling him like I don't think I'd be where I was if not for Heavyweight. And there's also a guy named Nick Johnson who works at Trogues who told me about Pro Brewer, and like I would have no clue where to apply for brewing jobs if not been told about Pro Brewer.
Good old Ben.
So put us. Let's date the starting at Duck Rabbit.
So I started Duck Rabbit in March 2007.
Okay,
so you're 27.
I was 25, coming up on 26 years old. And I had never worked in a brewery. I don't have a very impressive resume because I didn't go to college or anything like that either.
But I'm asking because things get cloudy in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
But in 06, Duck Rabbit was regionally very important, right?
Yes.
I know Duck Rabbit. I know Duck Rabbit from that time.
Yeah.
And I'm just looking for a context in my head of how big that was for a first job, right? And
for me, it ended up probably becoming one of the most important jobs I ever had because I ended up taking this job where I was there for almost 3 years, and during that first year, one of the guys left, so it was just me and the owner. So I was on the brew deck and within 2 weeks, mashing in beers and learning to run a filter, learning to run a canning line, or not canning at the time, bottling line, learning to just do everything in that brewery because there's two of us trying to make 3,000 barrels of beer. We're like running around all over the place, and I put in long hours, and it really just gave me the fundamentals that were important to have for making good beer. And that's part of the old school days of where you did work long hours and like you had to wear many hats. And nowadays there's not as much of that, I don't feel.
Oh, you said many hats.
Yes.
All right. Not many hats.
Miniature
for a
hats?
Second, I thought
yes,
it was mini hats. I was like, that's fun.
He kind of talks like I do.
He does talk a little bit like you.
It's a weird ritual for
What's
breweries.
The name you can never say? Can you say the name
B-E-N?
Bent?
B-E-N.
Just
B-E-N.
Ben?
Ben.
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 Y'all say it wrong.
Well, that's like P-E-N and
you
P-I-N.
Say like, you say it like places you have gone to instead of like the beginning of Benjamin.
Oh, okay. Like, I've been there.
Right.
Okay.
I'm from Virginia.
I'm from Virginia.
All right. I'm sorry I got us off on this tangent.
But it's fine. This is a good
the mini hats. We're near Orlando. If you want,
how do you say words?
Well, we're near Orlando. If you want, I can get you a mini hat right next to the Mickey ones. But anyway. Anyway, let's digress off Dr. Abbott. Let's put a tag in that because we've got a timeline to get through. But we got to talk about the Black Glass.
Yeah.
So what brings us together on Steal This Beer, even when we're down in Igor? Where are we, Igor?
Ybor.
When we're in Ybor, is a candid discussion of beer. What it is, what it's doing, what we think about it, where we'd have it, where it belongs in your cellar if you own it. I hope you own this beer, by the way. I hope if you're a thief, you own this beer, because I'm gonna kind of gush
tell
about
you,
this beer.
There is 0%
chance. I'm gonna
kind of
gush about this beer.
Nobody owns this beer.
See, I hate when the beers that I gush about are ones that are
unobtainable.
Because do you not love this the way I love this?
This does
everything I want it to do.
Yes.
What I want. All right. So I'm gonna give you a couple quick notes on, but camphor, right? It's that minty side, that menthol side of herbaceous.
Verging on basil.
And, but what I love most about it is whatever the pH is on this beer is exactly the right saliva-producing, food-friendly.
Yeah.
Like, it's acidic enough that you're constantly thinking, is it going to go too far on acidity? But it sits right where it's fucking supposed to sit. This is one of those Lauren beers, like...
Sure.
And what I love about it is...
That means his wife will drink it.
My wife really likes good, real sours, but not too Brett B.
Sour with a soft S.
Yeah, present.
Capital S.
I like that. Exactly. A lowercase S sour. But not kettle sours.
Yeah.
Real sours,
natural,
but not...
yeast-driven sours.
Let's say 3-year, not 7-year.
Yeah.
Fair enough. But what I think I love most about it is we've talked before in wine terms of Bordeaux versus Burgundy. This beer is fun to drink. It's so much more fun to smell.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
It's got a great aroma.
Like, I like drinking it. It's fun. It'd be food friendly. There's not a ton going on the palate except that neat acidity and that kind of fun, sprightly drinking. But man, do I fucking like smelling it. I keep going back to smelling it. Johnny Cakes?
What's the toothpaste with the three stripes?
Breast. Aquafresh.
No, Aquafresh.
Aquafresh.
It's Aquafresh. So that's what I'm getting
off of.
It's
when they added the red stripe.
Right. So this
when it used to just be two blue and white, it smells like the red stripe Aquafresh.
Okay. But it definitely has that minty quality to it. But again, it verges into basil
it's an herbaceous mint,
really is.
Yeah, but you know there's types of basil. I never got that deep, but I feel like if you said it's Thai basil or maybe like a spearmint basil with lemon verbena.
Or sage is another way to go with it.
Kinda, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this to me is more like when you have like a really robust basil plant and by the time, if you plant it in, you know, May, and by the time it gets into August where it is really hardy and really pungent and robust, that is the mint that sort of comes, the basil that kind of comes off of this, and it's minty in that way. And I just keep thinking, and maybe it's because we're in Florida, but I just keep thinking about fish tacos.
Yeah, all right. So
really simple.
That's fine, because I was going to do a chicken mole.
Tacos. Okay.
Yeah. I wanted something just that simple, but I wanted the chocolate to play with
you
that.
The chocolate would go a long way with this.
But yeah. I wanted that little bit of chocolate in the, you know, I thought some peppers. But does that make sense to you? So we've written everything. We can move on, but I want to keep drinking.
No, but have you had this recently?
Had this?
Yes.
No. I had it about a year ago.
Okay, so is the beer doing the same thing that it did a year ago?
Yes.
Okay. And
it has held up very well.
Okay, so this is from the same batch that you had a year ago.
It got stored at U-Haul while I moved it down from Vermont.
That's not nice.
So we're going to do the reveal?
All right, so reveal this fucking beer.
I have no idea what the fuck this is.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, is that true? Then talk about it. Did you taste it?
I know what it is, but
I told him about these beers beforehand.
This is an unobtainable beer.
Yeah, so this is this is a Yarrow beer from my friend Vasily. It's a homebrew.
Okay.
Ah. This is a home. So
nice work, Vasily.
So Vasily is a brewer at Hill Farmstead who also runs Wonder Camera. And before he started Wonder Camera, he started doing some homebrew batches of beer, often with foraged herbs. And this is with Yarrow from his front yard. And I really, really love the small bottle that he brought me. So as a birthday gift, he gave me a big bottle.
And is this just a simple paper label that he has
It is
literally, he ripped a label off of another bottle and that was what was left and he drew it on there.
I love it.
That's fantastic.
Because it feels, you know when you watch those things of like people doing fishes with Japanese brushes, it feels like somebody did some version of that. Tell me about Yarrow. I don't know anything about Yarrow.
I might be the wrong person to ask, but it is a flower that sprouts up, I think, in around springtime.
Justin, did you look up Yarrow?
I've come to really, really enjoy Yarrow. He was already a big fan. There's a brewery in New Hampshire called Eagle Spirit, I think it's called, Earth Eagle,
that's it.
And they do a lot of...
Give me one second. I'm just going to read you the first paragraph of whatever wiki says.
Is it going to say toothpaste, Crest, and...
No, but man, commonly known as Yarrow... is a flowering plant in the family, whatever. It is native to temperate regions of the Northern Hemisphere in Asia, Europe, North America, New Zealand. Common herb of both.
That's a weed.
Wet and dry areas, whatever.
Does it have flavor descriptors?
I just wanted to know what kind of plant it was, and now I know its scientific name.
You do get like that minty, herby, medicinal thing out of it.
So did he dry hop with it? You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be like a tea he made.
I have used it with him also brewing other beers, and you often just put it in the whirlpool and then take it out afterwards. So, but yeah, this Earth Eagle also makes a couple
yards. That's the brewery up in New Hampshire. Yeah.
So a couple years ago, Sam Adams and Dogfish Head did a collaboration beer for the Savor thing that the BA does, and they used Mosaic, the very, very first incarnation of Mosaic before it had a name.
When it was super blueberry.
Right, but after 5 years, it had taken on that minty kind of thing, and that's what I thought this was at first, because I thought it was aged Mosaic at first, just because that's what I think of when I get some of these flavors. So it's kind of cool. So Yarrow has this...
Dude, I'm down with Yarrow.
Yarrow is definitely one of the traditional herbs for Druid beers also. Yeah. They would have used it at Heavyweights 2 Druids. I know Will Myers at Cambridge Brewing Company uses it quite a bit in his beers also.
Yeah, we've written
Carton
about that
will definitely use it soon.
Be careful, because it can get very strong.
That's all right. We could always back
doesn't
that.
Back down
hey, here's the owner of the spot.
Oh, hi.
Casey Hughes just walked by.
So Casey Hughes is the owner of the Coppertail hosting us.
Built it with his own two hands.
All right.
But before
come
we sidetrack ourselves with Casey, as we will, let's... All right. So this beer helps introduce, if we skip over Denmark, introduces the beginnings of your cerveceria
Hill. Hold on. We'll get to that in a second, because Casey's sitting down right now.
All right, Casey.
Let him
put his cans on. Can you hear us?
Casey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Casey. Get right up to that mic. Right up. Touch your lips right to the top thing. Thanks for hosting, man.
Oh, no problem. Thanks for coming out.
Casey, do you remember the fond days of Heavyweight Brewing in Tom's River?
I still have a bottle of Lunacy in my office, I think.
Nice.
Nice.
There's nobody from that time that lived within like 50 miles who didn't know about what he was doing at Heavyweight.
Yeah, Perkinews. I mean, there's...
It's all weird-ass beers that, like, how would you launch a brewery? Be like, I make a smoke bock and a Belgian wheat beer and a Baltic porter.
In, like...
2002.
Yeah.
All right, so, Casey, so a lot of people are down here this weekend for Hunapu, but give us the elevator pitch on why we should be here. We know why we're here at Coppertail, but what is Coppertail and why should anybody who comes down for Cigar City or some of those famous stouts come over to Ybor City?
I think we have a... neat location. We make some pretty good clean beers and try to have fun with everything here.
Okay.
We have a nice skateboard event out right now outside, a half pipe event.
Are you getting
anybody can
get on a skateboard?
Huh? Yeah. If I get on a skateboard, I'll never do anything again.
I'm drinking your slam piece right now, and it's really super tasty. It goes very well with that Yarrow beer. Do not let them drink that beer before you taste it, Casey.
There's a good bit left.
Fucking
in there.
Badass.
Take that one.
It's really cool. But more importantly, tell me, before we get back to show and on topic, while we're still on the topic of Coppertail, tell me who does your art. The art in here is wonderful.
Yeah, cool.
Evan Harris out of Portland, Oregon.
And how did you hook up with him down here in Florida from New Jersey?
Saw some really cool art by him, and my partner Kent got one of the paintings, and then he really liked the stuff, and the guy said he wanted to do some label art for us, and he just really just knocks out of the park with everything he does.
Well, keep it up. It's really cool. What a great job in here. Anyway, I didn't want to not ask that, because I think it's worth coming here, even though I'm loving the beers. I think it's worth here to check out the art.
He does some cool stuff, and Charlie Schiller, who designed the place, really did a really great job with a lot of the stuff.
All right, now let's talk about starting your own breweries out of other breweries, because Casey's from Flying Fish by Us. You come down from Hill Farmstead. You've each gone south of the Mason-Dixon, open your own place.
Well, I was
to me, this feels tremendous.
Yeah, see, he beat me down here by about 5 years.
But still, this feels tremendous to me. How big is this brewery?
Square footage.
No, brew house.
We have a 50-barrel brew house. We'll probably do just a little over 20,000 barrels this year just in the state of Florida.
Jesus.
But you have a good bit of capacity with a 50-barrel brew house.
We do, but we're running out of tank space right now. Okay. It's,
wow. That's always the issue.
Yeah,
and how big are you?
Are you canning yet?
I'm as big as I want to be. I contract brew, so I don't have a brew house. Right. I use Duck Rapids facility.
Oh, cool.
So
it all comes full circle.
It's all full circle.
So we fully skipped.
Get out of my head.
It's your fault. You made me drink that O-dub in the fucking hotel. Anyway, this beer tastes exactly like bananas, and not like yeast bananas, like banana bananas.
Is this the beer that you brewed with JC?
I didn't brew with JC, but it might be that beer. It tastes so much like bananas. All right, so, well, let's make the stop. Let's catch back up. So now you've done Duck Rabbit. You've gone through Europe.
Yeah,
good bit.
6 years.
And how do you hook up with Sean? How long are you there? And how do you start brewing your own label with At?
Sean's directly tied to Europe as well. Because I knew Sean from Belgian Compass Cooperstown, which is probably, or used to be, one of the greatest beer festivals you could ever attend.
That's true.
And I met him there 1 year. And he moved to Denmark, and he was brewing in Denmark. And then he left, and then he came back to help open up a brewery. And he knew I was interested in living overseas, so he's the one that brought me to Denmark, actually.
Oh, right on. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and while I was over there in Denmark working with him, he's writing his business plan for Hill Farmstead, and we're... So during that whole process, I stayed in touch with him during those 6 years. It was constantly a thing of when I was thinking about moving, do you want to come to Vermont? Do you want to come move here or whatever? And eventually, we were looking at moving back to the U.S. I had another good lead on a place, and I talked to him. And that was part of his offer when he offered to hire me was to – he had just purchased Pizza Boy's original brew system, which is that five-hectoliter system. So he's like, you can open up your own brand and we'll sell it at the brewery and that'll be part of what you can do here.
That's a great offer from
really
a guy
cool.
like Sean.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we'll get there. Wait.
Casey's going to join us on the side.
Oh, right on. And you don't know what you're drinking, Casey?
I don't.
You're playing blind with us? Cool.
This will be very funny since Casey's here also.
That'll be fun. But
Poor Casey.
Straight
he
bananas.
He really didn't want to come over.
He really just wanted to host.
Like,
he wasn't going to get sidetracked by this
tomfuckery.
But John, you're so charming.
That's why. That's
but
why
wait, you don't have that beer in your glass.
No,
right,
you have a
Justin?
Different beer.
All right. So
there's less of this beer.
Let's
also.
Talk about this beer and
okay.
go. So this beer is old.
Yes.
Like very old. Properly
yes.
stored old. But the nose is. So what he's just saying to you, Casey, is this Yarrow beer we had from. Say again who it is.
Vasily Gletsos.
Okay.
And he's a brewer at Hill Farmstead. It's a homebrew batch that he made.
I like it a lot. But all right, so let's talk about glass two of the black glass. Get it out of the way so we can get back to what we're supposed to be talking about.
Yeah.
I love, so there's those sherry, those really
it's
oxidized
good oxidated.
Sherry. No, yeah, but yeah. but proper, like, dry sherry
yeah.
notes, which yeah, makes me know right away. It's old, but on the palate,
yeah.
it's not showing any of that. The
no.
nose is very, this had its time.
You could almost think it's like an English old ale off the nose.
Exactly.
But it's not.
All right, you know what this is, so you know.
Yeah, you got to stop guiding
yes.
us. You got to let us be blind.
Sorry.
You're just like the invisible hand of God trying
the
to
yeast,
steer us
the
towards
yeast
or away from.
The yeast character is so much banana. It has to be either like I guess I mean it's so old. It's hard to find the body as the clue, but I guess it could be somebody's Dunkel, really old. But what I'm guessing is it's somebody's Belgian, really old because of the banana yeast.
Dunkel,
yeah, it's.
But
it is so sickly sweet. It is so just like cloyingly.
It's not cloying. Yeah. No, there's either that or I've had so much acid prior to it that I'm fine with the sugars.
But
because,
it is very, very sickly
but I'm
sweet.
Drinking,
I find it very sweet.
And yeah.
I want to talk about it because I'm drinking through it and I don't drink sweet fast.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like it's going down pretty.
Casey, what's your initial reaction to this? You're also drinking blind off the glasses.
It's a little boozy, a little sweet, I think.
Yeah.
Oxidized.
Yeah.
There's a tartness in the back.
that wet cardboard is starting to show up as it warms up a little bit more. There's like the touches of it in that sherry way that you're talking about, but also that it shows some real age to it.
I've also been drinking nothing but Pilsner all night, so...
So everything is sweet in your face.
Man. Slam in your face.
There's this hint of bitter after each swallow, though, that kind of comes on.
Anybody that listens to the show knows my affection for well-aged wines and beers. And this, to me, this is lovely aging. And so I'm going to put this... Here's where I want it. I want it with something with toasted hazelnuts. Okay. It could be savory or sweet.
Is that because of THP or anything?
Oh.
Maybe. Damn it.
Or just because of the sherry.
I think it's sherry, but I want it... Like, it could be sweet. Like I'm saying, it could be dessert, or it could be... I don't know, like what would you put hazelnuts on? I'm thinking duck, but I think duck's got too much body for this. So like a
if you're
like a
Danish,
Dunkin'
Donuts is extremely strong cheese.
Yeah, but I always poo-poo cheese because everybody says sweet cheese because everybody likes cheese. So I don't feel you've nailed a pairing.
Yeah,
he's
kind of a snob when it comes to that.
I'm really
kind of
snobby about cheese as a pairing. I think it's a lazy thing to do because who doesn't like good cheese?
You know, this is like a good stew. This is like a good roasted mutton kind of English stew, cold winter.
Get some root vegetables in there.
Yeah, like parsnips and turnips and all sorts of other things.
What if
instead of
pouring it in a stem?
And that's because of the bitterness on the back end of this that I think that some of those root vegetables would do really well.
What if instead of pouring it in a black ash glass, John, I put it in a clay mug? And said, you have to have this with your stew.
And
would
I
you
say,
be fine
dilly,
with the
dilly.
Dilly, dilly. Whatever that means.
All right, what are we drinking?
Is that a question to me?
Justin doesn't know again.
So this is another homebrew.
Oh,
this
God
is
damn it.
Homebrew by Gene Brulé, owner of Tired
hey,
Hands.
Hey,
this
up,
is
Gene
a Brulé. Beer that Gene made for my wedding in 2009. Wow. So brewed in 2008. French Saison yeast and Brett.
So
and
wait,
also has
wait, wait.
Rye and corn and all this other stuff in it.
It's super tasty.
Augie's now trying to figure out how he can justify his banana comments. So.
No, I'm fine with it.
It's got French Saison yeast.
I'm 100% fine with that.
And if you look...
I'm just trying to figure out the right joke to make about people putting chairs outside Tired Hands.
And if you look...
When Ryan had Tired Hands beer at his wedding.
Gene handmade the labels. These are hand-stamped that he carved out and wrote the ingredients on the side.
That's a badass. Well,
thanks
shit.
For bringing that.
I got
really
one
nice.
Left. If somebody wants to see me at Huna, $60.
But you have to wait online for 14 hours.
Yeah, exactly.
But Justin will take a picture and we'll put it up on
you really only have one left
on
from your wedding?
Page.
I mean, it was a 5-gallon batch.
No, but thank you for sharing it with us.
No,
that's
really,
an honor.
That's above
no, I have one more of these.
Yeah, but
after
if
this.
That leaves you one, thank you
yeah,
for sharing.
Yeah, but I opened it up like a year ago with Gene and I was like, I'm not going to be drinking these anytime soon.
The penultimate wedding beer.
And so while we were tasting beer number two,
Casey waved in some...
Yeah, some
bright red fruit juice.
Some Florida Vice.
Is this a Florida Vice?
Not a Florida Vice. This is out of the Foders.
Oh, shit, sorry.
With blackberries, collab with Sacchapaya in Sweden.
Wait.
The mead producer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wow.
Is there honey in it?
Nope.
They make beer also.
They came
but their
over
mead
to
is what
us.
Everybody
but
knows.
But there's a body thing in the middle, right?
This
so
is
it,
really
it lands
nice.
On
this
the acidic
really,
berry
really
juice,
nice.
But there's a body thing in the middle that's kind of neat and quick, and I want somebody to help me give it words, right? So it goes in.
Glycerin?
It's tart.
So
no,
first
I don't
of all,
think so.
He says that he wants you to help him with words, but he's just going to roll all over you. So just
that's I'm.
Casey's been drinking pills for anyways. No, you're right. It has a very good berry flavor. There's no, like, I don't get a lot of tannin or astringency or anything like that. Like, not like that seedy character or anything, but good actual juicy berry character to it without being sweet or too acidic or anything like that. That's why I thought it was a Berliner Weisse at first, because it has a really nice, clean acidity
so,
to it.
You know when you have a roll of Lifesavers
and the color
and you're,
is great.
Like, halfway the through the roll. Yeah, but you're halfway through the roll maniacally just doing one
just
after
on
the other
you
after
accidentally
the other
grab
thing.
A white one right. When you thought it would be red
but that sort of is the way that it hits your tongue is sort of it's a little bit of sugar overload, it's familiar flavor, it's kind of comforting, but like it's sort of it doesn't blunt, it just sort of it intensifies everything a little bit more, like when you get that seventh Lifesaver going through.
I get that.
Yeah
I like it a lot.
It's very good.
A nice beer.
It's very really refreshing.
I really like it.
Is this draft or is this packaged?
It's draft.
And so you were really quick, though.
We're going to start packaging this.
You were really quick, though, when we all thought Florida Vice, fruited Berliner, as it's known in non-these parts, to say, no, it's not. But you do some of those beers, right?
We do quite a bit of them. There's definitely an email I found the other day that I sent to Kent that said I'm never brewing a Berliner Vice in Florida.
That's why he brews Florida Vice.
Yeah, exactly. So we've done quite a few Berliners out of here.
What do you think is a key definition between the two? Just the fruit levels?
Just the fruit levels, so just big and fruity.
Actually, while we're on it, since I can't ask, tell me about Slam Piece, because I've got a watermelon Jolly Rancher flavor to the whole thing.
Yep.
Is there anything added to it, or is it just a...
Cucumber.
Okay, there you go. That makes total sense.
That's it right there. Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, like
but you know how it's showing...
A watery
like,
fruit type.
Yeah, but it's showing like a watermelon Jolly Rancher, like after a cherry one.
Yeah, it's
to stick with John's candy on candy metaphor, after a cherry one, the watermelon one is like, oh yeah, cucumber is a much better answer though.
See, in talking with other Florida brewers in the past, I've found that the Florida Vice does really well, and pilsners and lagers are starting to take off. But stouts and porters are also really, really popular down here, which might strike some people as sort of counterintuitive for the warm climate. I'm on board for it. But have you actually looked into why? Because you make a few of them.
Yeah, yeah. People seem to love really big, boozy, sweet stouts in like August down here for some reason. It
helps you pass out in the sun.
Yeah,
and
real. Yeah,
yeah. As somebody who goes from pale to red very quickly, that passing out.
Yeah,
the sun
I was like.
There's not a brewer that
if you have red hair, you are going to burn.
Ryan's burning in here right now.
Yeah. If you could just turn off that desk lamp, that'd be great. Yeah.
I've got a watch line from sitting under these dim lights. But let's get back to the story we're
on.
Yes,
sir.
So now you've come home. You're brewing with Sean, who said brew your own beer. So was that from day one landing there, or did you start brewing Sean's beers and then you found days you could make your beers? How'd that shake out?
So it was, I started there in, I believe, June, and I brewed my first batch in
June
September.
Of 15 or 16?
15. And okay. I brewed my first batch in September. And part of that was getting paperwork and licensing and all this type of stuff in line to be able to do it, because Vermont hadn't had somebody structure like a contract brewery before, so they were like, there was a lot of questions around what kind of license do you need to hold? Right? I obviously won't hold a brewer's license because I don't own a brewery, so I get added to their brewer's license. All right, but then you want to be a wholesaler, how do you have like your beer not in bond and all this type of stuff? And so it took a few months. My friend
and
Richard,
and all that while you're stirring mash for Sean. And
well, no, I didn't start. I didn't start actually brewing because Sean's been very, you know, that's his thing. It's been his thing for a long time. I ran the cellar for a while, just getting my bearings and everything. I started brewing in March of the 2016. There,
okay.
Because
that's a brewery where it's very much crawl before you walk, and then walk for a long time before you
run.
Yeah,
but at the same time, Sean also, like, if you look, Sean doesn't ever post up an advertisement, Hill Farmstead's hiring, or anything like that. When I worked there, there was three head brewers that worked there. I was a head brewer. I've been running breweries for a long time. Vasily was the head brewer at Laurelwood, and then he hired Mike Gerhart, who was the head brewer at Otter Creek, and Sean himself was also there. So there's a lot of knowledge under one roof of people that know how to operate and run breweries. So,
was there one employee locker for the head brewer, and whoever got into there that morning got
it? I never try to take that title from Sean or anything like that, and that's just I don't think anybody will ever have the head brewer title. I mean, Mike Gerhart, who's a fantastic brewer, he's operations officer.
The world works best with
without
nobody gives a fuck about.
I think
title.
Also all of us have been it long enough to know that a title isn't what makes your position or anything like that. Now, if somebody called me assistant brewer, I would get quite upset just because I'm a little bit beyond that at this point in my life. But
when you start a card, I'm like, call yourself whatever you want. I'll make you a business card with any words you want on
it. Exactly. I had mine at Siren. It said doer of things.
But know that for us, it makes no difference, right?
Yeah.
It's a band, right? Sometimes you're lead, sometimes you're Phil.
Yeah.
But yes, I
started brewing my beer, and then it became a once a month thing. Mostly on like weekends, I come in on a Saturday.
And what size batch would you do? Like,
it's
still
a five barrel system. Right. Yeah, we built oak puncheons, stand up oak puncheons that we would just
do. You built your own oak puncheons?
We didn't like carve the staves and everything. We modified.
We went out to dawn with our
axes. I'm just picturing all four of them sitting on a porch and rocking chairs with a piece of hay. Whittling.
Yeah.
I'm going to whittle me a punching.
Sean's brother, Darren, happens to be like a master woodworker, so I'm sure if we asked him, he probably could Cooper us up a barrel. But no, we bought two punches.
The world's most expensive barrel.
If you haven't been to Hill Farms yet, when you get the opportunity, John's been there. If you get the opportunity to go look at the bar or anything that is made out of wood in that brewery,
he did it.
And you know Sean's brother like handmade everything.
Awesome. It's really impressive.
It's very impressive. It's crazy to see two brothers extremely talented in different directions of life, but both still focused on the art of whatever it is.
Yeah, of course. Good parents. Good parents.
Yes. But it became a once a month thing. I brewed a beer every month. In bottle condition, we taste it when we thought it was ready. It would go out to market. I mean, it was always like 100 cases of beer. It wasn't that much. Most of it sold at Hill Farmstead. Some of it went out to other places. And then eventually, Vasily, he started his own thing there also with the Wonder Camera brand.
Right on.
So he also started brewing and then, doing the same thing.
All right, now, and that must have been, if you're doing it once a month, and you're working with Sean and you've got all that inspiration, I don't imagine you were ever concerned with brand or consistency. It was just, here's what I'm going to do this time and see what happens.
It's a different beer every single month. Yeah.
But now you find your way back full circle to Duck Rabbit. You've got your tanks to make and you're building what will be your brand. Talk about the changes you made or didn't make. Did you keep that kind of...
Well, the big change is that at Hill Farmstead, everything is these open fermenter wild beers, right? It's all going to end up being sour and tart because it's mixed culture. A lot of it was with a lot of spicing or adjuncts, I guess you could say, like zest and things like that.
Other stuff,
not just straightforward. While here now, I can't do mixed culture at all, Duck Rabbit. So now I'm just brewing clean beers, and because the market where it is, I brew a lot of IPA now because this is what people drink a lot of.
Do you haze it in every way? Protein, hop.
DDH.
Have you made a DDH beer yet?
What's your definition of DDH?
That's your answer, not mine. Yeah. I want to know what you think it means. If you've used it. If you haven't used it, I don't give a fuck.
I have always double dry hop beers in the sense that, I think Mitch Seal and Matt Brittleson have both talked about the aspect of the first dry hopping can act almost as like a fining agent. It's going to bind to yeast and fall out. So you do a small percentage, and then a few days later do a large percentage. So I've always done that method.
Yep.
Right? But then you talk to some people, and DDH just means we use twice the amount of hops. And it's like, well, that's stupid because I don't want to stay stupid because I don't want to offend people. That doesn't make sense in the scenario because it's like, well, my hopping rate might already be twice of what you use. Doesn't mean I did a DDH on my beer. It became an acronym that allows people to like kind of infer how hoppy is this beer going to be or what should I expect out of it.
It became lazy.
I do not make my beers solely focused on trying to reach haze or anything. I won't say what Duck Rabbit uses for the yeast. Maybe they're protected.
Doesn't matter.
It flocks out a lot, so it's not like I'm going to make hazy beer anyway.
And do they have a centrifuge?
Nope.
All right.
They do have a filter, which I don't use.
All right.
So my beer might be slightly cloudy, but it's not going to be the Juice Bro level of haze or anything like that.
That's awesome. All right, so IPAs, and I'm imagining, I'm trying to keep it quick because I want to get to something more interesting, but largely Citra, Mosaic, The Fun, Galaxy.
Yeah, all that stuff. Right. Galaxy, not so much because it costs too much, and I think it's not like that great of a hop to where I should pay $1,000 for a box.
It's fun on Citra. It's fun on Citra.
Look, it has. Right? Look, I'd hate a Galaxy. It smelled like pencil shavings to me for forever until I worked at Hill Farmstead, and the Double Galaxy won me over massively.
Yeah.
I used it in the most recent beer that I did, but I feel like I could still get the same thing with a bunch of other hops that cost half the price.
Fair enough.
And since it's my money I'm spending now, I look at that stuff. When I ran breweries for other people, let's get 1,000 pounds of Galaxy in here.
Right away.
It wasn't that big of a thing. Yeah.
Ship it in.
Your money, not mine. Yeah, now I care a lot about that.
You should work in my brewery. That happens to me a lot. I'd be like, how much did we spend on
exactly.
this?
Exactly.
But that's awesome. All right. So when you stray, which way are you straying? Like, what's
what's North Carolina pulling out of you now that you're home and not on a farm every day? Or you know, when you're like, here's what I'm going to do.
It's pulling out family for me. This is okay. What it does for me. My brother and my mother both live in Charlotte. My wife, she's originally born in the Philippines and grew up a little bit in Florida, but most of her life has been spent in North Carolina also. Her family lives in Wilson, which is where we currently live.
All right.
And after we left in 2009, we came back in 17. So we spent 8 years away. So being back, now we have a 6-year-old daughter also. It's meant a lot to us to have this opportunity to be back and near family and friends that we left and everything also.
How tied into Asheville? How far? Because I don't know
Asheville's
the state
like
as well as I should.
6.5 hours.
So you don't get to hang out with our boys over there? Right on.
Even when I lived in North Carolina, I went out there like 4 times.
It's a fun city. I only learned that from this show.
But so here's my question, though. When you're at Hill Farmstead and you had beers coming out of Hill Farmstead, there's a certain specter that goes around those beers where, you know, the folks who show up there have a certain expectation. So any beer that's going to come out of there, whether or not it's Sean's or not, has the certain expectation. Now that you're back in North Carolina, now that you're making the beers that you're doing, was there a weight lifted?
I'm not a good sales guy. Part of that is like when we first went out and like we're introducing ourselves, I refuse to say like, hey, my name's Ryan. I worked at Hill Farmstead because I want to sell my beer on its own merits. I don't want people to buy it just because it said Hill Farmstead on it.
Right.
There were people that already knew of us, but they were not the majority of the accounts. Now that we're established and we have a good account base, these people have looked into it and they know about us and they know where we came from and everything. But I wasn't trying to use that as a way to...
You wanted to stand on your own 2 feet.
My whole thing is like Hill Farmstead is one place I've worked out of many, and really? I had a resume before it, and I have a resume after it, and I love my time there, but I don't think it should define me, or anybody that came out of there should not be defined.
So I like that answer very much, and I like where you've been. I also love these two brews you brought.
Yeah, they're
and
fun.
Now, was that? How does that become your palate from Heavyweight? From, you know, their chat.
Well,
like you,
I was
you
a very,
chose two very unique beers to bring
I was,
here.
I'm a very big
style.
Fan of Two Druids, which was their Druid. So right I've on. Always had, and I've always really enjoyed Druid beers. So I've always had this affinity towards forged beers. And when I'm doing these things at Hill Farmstead to where they are so mixed culture driven, when you're doing beers that are very much like driven by the Brett or Lacto or whatever the house strain is going to be, I feel like adding other things to it is how you define those beers a little bit. Maybe it's like this one's dark or this one's red, but the yeast is going to be such a big component of those. You need other things to like define them a little bit. So it's like maybe this one has one of the ones I brewed that people liked. It had chamomile, lavender, and orange zest, right? And I'm like, that's going to be a cornerstone of this beer. Still going to have the acid, still going to have the yeast profile, but it has these other things that pull them apart a little bit. And then like Vasily, you guys had the Del Arbolus, which is a beer that we made, Vasily,
yeah,
which is
with
the juniper and spruce and all
I like
that stuff.
Beer
and
great
so,
beer.
For us, that was always a thing of like, how can we add other characteristics to this beer besides the yeast and besides the malt? And so we relied heavily on foraging and just making weird things, man.
Well done, and thanks for bringing a shit. Thieves, I'm really sorry you're never going to get to drink those two beers.
Yeah, seriously, I don't even know if we can.
They were neat as fuck.
Well, the Tired Hands or the Gene beer probably was better at the wedding. It was really fantastic.
I was very happy with
it's aged like a wedding. But the Yara beer is so good.
I feel like Augie should give you a wedding present because
The Yara beer, I know he has released the Yara beer as Wunderkammer, and we released one as Hill Farmstead also, both with him going out and foraging Yara.
Do me a favor, call your friends and have them send them to me. I don't even want to send Sean an email.
Well, now you have the opportunity to look at
but
how Yara.
But if I send Sean an email, like, yo, dude, can I please get this? I'll be like, who are you again?
Yeah. So we had Casey sitting here for a while, but he's playing host because it's very busy. It's the day before.
Hunapu.
Justin is back in the Justin
Hunapu.
Seat. Justin.
Hey, I'm
Justin.
Right,
you have a letter to read us?
I do.
I hope it's about Yarrow.
It's
sometimes
not about Yarrow.
Justin really nails the topic to the conversation.
Somebody emailed us and said, can you just tell me what Yarrow is?
and then we're going to lazily read you the first paragraph of Wikipedia that explains.
I was hoping we could at least learn that it was a daisy.
Well, you made us all be quiet. So
Justin,
you can talk
here
about,
we go.
We've got a super timely letter.
Moment.
Justin, super timely letter, but by the time this episode airs, it might not be timely anymore.
Come on, go.
So the subject is tariff on aluminum. so you know what it's going to be. It's from Eric D. He says, hello, Still This Beer crew. I'm a huge fan of the podcast and have been listening since its inception.
Oh,
I don't think
you.
That's possible.
No, we appreciate it.
It was a year after we incepted it that we released one. So
what?
My question to you all
is... He's clearly wasted.
Is now that President Donald Trump has instituted a tariff on aluminum.
I'm sorry. Who's the president? What time?
You could just say
is
the president.
Okay, go on. So he's taxing steel and steel
yeah,
and whatever.
And aluminum. Yeah, and aluminum.
I'll answer.
Which many breweries, including Carton, utilize for their beers.
Use aluminum. No, every brewery uses steel.
I'm just reading the letter, Augie.
No, I understand, but let's qualify that. He's talking about aluminum. But the 25% tariff on steel is
a much bigger deal
to brewing.
You can't really
expand.
You can't buy new tanks. Any equipment whatsoever.
Well, if you're buying Chinese steel.
But so the question, as far as I can tell, is a political question about
how much of an impact do you feel that's going to put on brewing industry? And does Carton and other breweries plan to deal with this recent? How do you plan to develop to deal with this recent?
To pass the cost
I'm excited
on.
About the Brewers March on Washington.
Well, hold on. So I'll answer it as quickly as I can, and I try to stay non-politic on this discussion, but it's trade wars are stupid. It will hurt us as much as it hurts everybody else, and here's why. So let's say a can costs Carton 20 cents and now it costs 21 cents. If we do the right thing, we will make our beer 1 cent more expensive to cover our cent.
But that's still 60% more over that because you have the wholesaler and then the retail.
But that's the thing. Downstream, that one is... 3 from the wholesaler to the store, and that's 6 to the consumer.
Yeah.
So I will make no more money. It'll cost you 6 cents more. And that's just how that goes in the beer business and whatever. And maybe you don't notice 6
cents. Your $12 six-pack's a $13 six-pack,
right.
Though, because they're going to round up. And
but that's them, right? That's if we pass that 1 cent on.
Yeah.
But here's where it matters is Carton, I don't know everybody else, but Carton's very carefully made the choice every time we've bought tanks, system, steel to stay American steel by American companies. And we've paid more money for that. We've made the decision to keep our stuff here. The thing I don't think anybody understands about these tariffs is it doesn't make Chinese steel cost as much as American steel. It lets Americans charge more for steel. That's why it benefits companies, right? So if you move Chinese steel up 25%, what you do is make Chinese steel cost what I was paying for American steel by making the choice to keep it in America. And you let, and trust me, all business mandates, American steel gets more expensive because there's a premium for it, a cachet in the market. So they've done is make it harder for me to decide. I'm not saying I won't decide. I really probably will still pay the tariff. But it makes it much harder for me and much less likely for people on stricter budgets than Carton runs on to commit to American-made steel.
Right.
That's a problem. That's a bad side effect of this tariff for steelmakers. But somewhere they're good at their business too, and they're going to say, all right, we can charge 25% more. Let's move 20. Augie's still going to buy tanks from us. We lose one customer, we're still richer. We lose 3, we got to make it cheaper. The market will correct, but the market won't make things flat. It'll make everything more expensive. That's what tariffs do.
I think it'll also make it more expensive than just that 25% because people are going to start selling on futures. People are going to make a rush on steel to buy it while the price is what it's at. And on NPR, they're talking about one steel broker in the U.S. was charging 30% more on theirs already versus because
it happens right away.
People are worried. And that 25% could lead to a higher.
This is not the back of that. But you know where it's really going to affect?
It will have effects.
You know where it's going to affect everybody no matter what? Kegs.
Yeah.
Yes.
Every keg is stainless steel.
Well,
every keg you see comes from China, and you make a very big choice not to buy Chinese kegs. Nobody's ever going to make that choice again. It will only be Chinese kegs sold for the rest of.
I use keg logistics. I do rentals or whatever.
But they're Chinese made. But, yeah. I actually buy kegs from Germany.
Yeah, because so you buy like Frankie or
more. Yeah, yeah. But trust me, this is going to make those unobtainable.
25% increase on buying a fresh float is a
crazy.
Lot.
Yeah.
All right, so
that's
Justin, if you can get Wilbur Ross, the Commerce Secretary, on the show.
He can hold up a keg.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love to know what beers he brings, though? Wouldn't that be the coolest?
Here's a Billy beer from my basement.
It's going to be like Mick Ultra and
All right, Ryan, it was real nice talking to you. Thanks for taking the time out. Thanks for those two awesome beers. So
yeah,
cool.
This was a fun thing.
It's a fun way for me to see if they still taste good.
And why don't we go downstairs and drink some of Casey's beers like gentlemen.
So thank you to Coppertail for hosting us.
Thank you to Coppertail for hosting us. Thanks to 5 o'clock on Mondays for not being the time.
Right.
Thank you for the letter.
All of the Patreons.
The Patreons got John a first-class ticket and Justin a bus.
Justin, champagne. Don't forget the champagne.
Justin took a bus.
I left 5 days ago.
He took a Greyhound down.
Justin took a Greyhound down, and John flew first class. I was back in coach on Carton Brewing.
Yeah. I drove.
Well, you could do that. You're much closer than us. I think of Vermont.
It's still like 10 hours.
I need to be very clear that I bought an economy ticket and got bumped up.
Yeah, sure you did. You didn't buy
did
an economy
Did you flash
ticket.
Your Patreon
the
card and yeah. get bumped up? Do you know who I am?
It's Patreon gold card.
You know how many backers I have?
I get railroaded conversationally by Augie Carton
once a week for 45 minutes. Yeah. People text me when he's drunk. All right, so let's finish off that part. Patreon, thank
you.
Either
that or talk about Casper mattresses.
Guys, get on. That's true. Fucking
but God,
me
they're
undies,
comfortable.
Me undies.
I'm wearing me undies right now.
Do you go to the post office? Anyway. But anyway, let's get back to where we were.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah, going downstairs.
Thank you, Patreons.
Thank you so much.
Patreons, thieves, be a Patreon. What's a dollar a month? There's like 30,000 of you listening to us every week these days. But what's one? There's 30,000 of you listening to us every week these days.
For
free?
If everyone gave 50 cents a month, we would...
Right now,
Justin wanted to be on a back
at $20 a month. We will say your name at the start of the podcast.
So let's think about that. There's 30,000 of you. If you each gave us a nickel, Justin wouldn't have had to take a bus. But Brian Cass might be here with a wax mustache.
First of all, Justin would still take the bus.
Yeah, that's true.
He's scared of planes.
He kind of likes it.
I can't bring the fixie on.
He's the John Madden of the beer podcast world.
But anyway.
Right. With the right amount, we could actually get our own
Winnebago. We could
get our
own bus. Yeah, that would be so badass. But anyway, thank you for those that do.
Yes, we appreciate
other guys,
you
please
guys
do
very,
more.
Very much.
And John pointed out to me, only like 1,000 people like us on Facebook. And if there's 30,000 of you listening,
it's a dying medium.
More of you guys should be involved because we have some pretty, but right, we have some pretty badass, we have some pretty badass Facebook conversations going on when they happen.
Right.
More of you should be part of them.
And some are bad, and just some are ass.
Which gets back to the topic of always. Get at us. Let us know what you think.
Cheers.
Thank you, guys.